Well, there is no question that when it comes to influence and persuasion in digital marketing, no one, and I mean no one, commands more respect than Dr. Robert Cialdini. If you have never read his books, Influence and Persuasion, I swear you are missing so much in your digital marketing, not only as an influencer and an advertiser, but as just a great marketer. And that's why I'm so excited to invite you to a free webinar where he'll be sharing his latest insights on new e-commerce strategies. Now, alongside Dr. Cialdini, you'll learn from Bass Wilders and the authors of Reputation King, my buddies Scott Brandley and DJ Sprigg. Attendees will absolutely be able to understand exactly how to gain a competitive edge in the marketplace by leveraging online reputation management. Now, that's something that we haven't talked about here on this show all that much. And it's more reason for you to register for the webinar here, which is completely free over at reputationking.com/PT. So join us on April 18th from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific for you West Coasters by registering at reputationking.com/PT. Once again, that's reputationking.com/PT. Cialdini has been a huge influence on me, and I can't wait to see how his new e-commerce strategies resonate with you and how they affect your business in a positive way using reputation management. Make sure that you register for the April 18th free webinar at reputationking.com/PT.
At the end of the day, stories sell, right? People want to be told the story, they want to buy into it, and then they want to engage with that.
You're listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns.
All right, welcome back to Perpetual Traffic. And on today's episode, we are really excited. We've got an awesome guest today that I know you're going to love. Once again, we've got Molly Pittman, Ralph Burns, and myself, Keith Krantz. And on today's episode, we've had a lot of questions in our group, in the DM Engage group, about how to use these social traffic channels, how to use Facebook ads to sell stuff. If you have physical products, you know, what if I have an e-commerce business and I sell physical stuff? How do I do that? And I've seen a lot of people out there, you know, have success and a lot of people not have success. And so Molly went out and found by far the number one authority on how to sell physical products online, okay? Ezra Firestone, the founder of smartmarketer.com, has literally sold tens of millions of dollars of physical products online. He's also a professor at the Shopify University, which is a major e-commerce platform. And Ezra, dude, thanks for coming on the show. We're really excited.
Thanks, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited that Molly found me. Sounds like she was like, she stumbled across me.
Yeah, where were you?
I was walking down the street and found this interesting looking guy.
You don't actually know this, actually, Ezra, but on the original mind map for the planning of the show, like, you know, several months back, you were on there as one of the guys that we had slated to talk e-commerce, Facebook ads, and also Pinterest ads. And then Molly texted me the other day and she's like, you know, I talked to Ezra and he wants to come on. I'm like, we're excited. So it was like kind of a serendipitous thing. So.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. You know, since you guys have been putting out this show, one of the interesting things in my company, and I think this may be the case in most e-commerce companies, and we run several different stores that do hundreds of thousands a month. Couple of them, we were getting close to that million a month mark. And we have the bottleneck. The main bottleneck in my company is that really I am the only person who can actually scale direct response advertising campaigns. So what our initiative has been over the last 6 months is to bring up other advertisers, and your show is key in that.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on. Let's get right into it. I got a question for you. So what businesses should be advertising online for physical products, or are there different types of media that they should be focusing on depending on the type of business that they are?
You know, when I got started in the game, I started in e-commerce about 10 years ago now. 2005, I was selling cheese via AdWords. And nice. The cheese business was a good business, you know. I didn't make a whole lot of money, but that's where I got my start. And back then, we really only had query-based traffic. We kind of had like, you know, that was like sort of even before Google search, but Google search is really where we kind of grew our initial e-commerce businesses, straight query-based traffic. And when contextual traffic rolled around, we really only had one data point that we could target people with. It was like the website they are visiting. We had no demographic data. We didn't have multi-data point contextual targeting the way we do now with Google, with Facebook, with Pinterest, et cetera. We only had query-based traffic. And query-based traffic is what most people think of when they think of e-commerce businesses. They think of like comparison shopping engines like Google Shopping and Nextag and Price Grabber and The Find. And most people assume that the only way to sell physical products is with query-based traffic. And it's a great source of traffic. I love it. I still use it on all my businesses. However, for a lot of physical product brands these days, contextual traffic is even more powerful because back in the day, the physical product brand could be faceless. It was like, you know, hey, I've got Halloween costumes. People are searching for Halloween costumes. I sell them. Well, now everyone has the same products. And so you can no longer sort of rely on just query-based traffic for your brand, even though you should be using it. I think every brand should actually be leveraging both query-based and contextual. The more expensive items, like, you know, if you're selling electronics that are super expensive and things like that, that are sort of driven by search. There's products that are really driven by search, and those are still going to be mainly query-based. However, if you can get away from what I call the faceless e-commerce store, which is, you know, sort of what we used to do, is e-commerce store, no story, no brand, no celebrity, nothing, just products, then you can leverage contextual traffic as well.
I think that's a great explanation and a mindset that people need to understand when they are running traffic. Could you explain a little bit more the difference between the two, just so people really understand?
Okay, so I will answer that question. But first, let's talk about from a physical product brand, how most brands are grown. Generally, if you look at how physical product brands are grown, it's sort of like one of four ways. Number one, they hit it big on a channel. They got on Amazon.com, they got a whole bunch of free traffic from one specific channel, and that's where their business started. That's where they get most of their sales. And now they have customers and people talking about them. Number two, they got some kind of crazy endorsement. A celebrity endorsed them. They were picked up on a news site. Some kind of endorsed traffic. A lot of brands are built on endorsements. And then there's the other two ways, which are the ways that we build our brands, which is straight up query-based traffic, which I'm about to talk about, and contextual traffic. So straight up query-based traffic is literally people go to Google, they type in a query, you advertise with Google search ads. They go to YouTube, they type in a query, you advertise with video ads based on the query they typed in. The best source of query-based traffic on the internet today comes from shopping engines. Amazon is the biggest shopping engine in the world. Google Shopping is the second. Nextag and Price Grabber and The Find and Shopzilla and Jet.com. These are all listings of products that people are going and searching for products. But essentially, query-based traffic is when someone goes, they type in a query, and generally it's going directly to a product. It's like they typed in this query and they are coming from a comparison shopping engine, from Google search, from Amazon, from Pinterest, and they go right to your product. And that's fantastic, but it kind of only works for, you know, 50, 100, like it doesn't work for super expensive products.
And the volume's lower.
And the volume's lower. You can't scale it. You're stuck with what the engine has available. Now, there's a lot on Amazon, obviously, right? But the problem with Amazon is you don't keep your customers. Amazon owns the customers, so you're not really building an asset when you're selling on that channel. And that's why if you can figure out how to escape the paradigm of query-based traffic as an e-commerce business owner, that's when you can really scale. And the easiest way to do it is with retargeting, right? I mean, that's contextual traffic. People come to your site, you retarget them on contextual sources. And that is one of the ways that you can use contextual traffic to go straight to product. Contextual traffic, where you're on Facebook or you're on Google Display Network or you're on Twitter, it's hard to make it work going directly to a product, saying, hey, here, buy my stuff. You know, they didn't type in a query. They weren't looking for you. They were scrolling through their sister's birthday pictures, and here you are trying to sell them a product.
You know, that ties in, just to put this into perspective for you as a listener, and what we've talked about this entire podcast. You know, it's not asking for marriage on the first date, right? It's not taking your $5,000 offer straight to cold traffic and asking people to buy. So although Ezra is talking about selling physical products, the same strategy still applies.
Contextual traffic is so scalable. There's so much more of it available, and it actually does work direct to product for super niche markets. Like, for example, we've got a guy in one of our mastermind groups who sells dog collars and all kinds of dog products, and he's able to target all of the German Shepherd owners above 45 in California, and he can just go straight to his product. So when you have a niche product, a super niche product, or even sports collectibles, or anything that's really niche specific, contextual traffic direct to a product offering, no pre-sell, no opt-in, no pre-purchase engagement sequence, works really, really well. However, the markets that I am in, I'm in wide markets. I'm in beauty, I'm in coffee, I'm in these more broad markets. And in those cases, it's much harder to make direct-to-product work with contextual traffic, which is why we use sales funnels in those cases.
It's a great example. And that's where it's really tough for people, because they'll see somebody having success and they'll see an example like that's super niched out, like the dog collar, and then they'll think that they can work for them, and maybe even they have a similar price point, but it doesn't work because, like you said, it's too broad.
Totally. And one more place it does work, direct to sale, right? If you're just like, hey, I'm kind of lazy, you know, I just want to put up a picture of my product and have people say yes to it, is holiday campaigns. We can get direct to sale to work, like if we have Halloween products and it's Halloween coming up, or if it's we have a Valentine's Day product and we can just have an ad say, hey, get your sweetie a teddy bear or whatever, you know, that kind of stuff does work. But if you want consistency, which at the end of the day, what makes a business run is consistent processes, right? Get something to work, continue to do it, hone in on what works, do more of that. If you want consistency, then it's likely no matter what you're selling, physical products or digital products or services, that you need some kind of a warm-up sequence.
Perfect. So let's talk about that. Do you want to hit on the types of businesses that work best with query-based versus contextual, or do you want to hit on what kind of system they have to put together?
Yeah, well, let's talk about the systems that you've got to put together. So there's a couple that work really, really well. Our favorite one right now is actually webinars for physical products. So we run straight up webinar funnels, right? Ads to an opt-in that puts you on a pre-live event that leads up to a sales event where we put them through a whole story and then we pitch a physical product and then there's a replay sequence. So straight up webinars to sell physical products work great if you've got an average order value of over $100 or an average lifetime customer value of over $100. The other concept that I think is very helpful is the promo ladder. Our best performing pre-sale page for our makeup line right now is 5 makeup tips for women. And so we send them to an opt-in page. It's got a little picture of a neat, you know, sort of digital rendering on it. Hey, opt in here to get our 5 makeup tips. And when they opt in, that puts them on a pre-purchase automation sequence. That initial opt-in gives us a lead. And at the end of the day, what physical product business owners don't get, mainly, most of them don't get, is that the person or the group with the leads is usually the one who wins. Most physical product business owners are only marketing to people who have bought from them. They don't take the time to do lead generation campaigns.
It's unbelievable how many guys we've taken on as a consulting client or somebody that just gets on for a 1-hour consult. They're in the physical product space and like we have a customer database of, you know, 5,000 people or 10,000 people, but they don't have any leads. It's just so common across that world because they're so used to coming from that query-based centric. They might be using Amazon and they might be driving traffic to their own website. Sometimes it's 60-40, 70-30, 50-50, but either way, they still don't have any leads.
These days, the way that you have a profitable campaign is not buy traffic now, make a sale today, you're profitable. Generally, for the most part, if you're winning, it's because you have some kind of long form engagement sequence with a prospect. So the way that we do it is we opt them in. That's our first step, right? They opt in and then they get put on an email sequence. We email these people more pieces of pre-sale content. We email them social proof. We email them another tips article, and all of the emails that we give them lead back over to the sales page. And over time, we keep increasing the discount. So the promo ladder is that as time goes on, you keep giving them bigger and bigger discounts until you make a free plus shipping offer. The way that we use free plus shipping is we use it on our pre-purchase automation sequence, which is basically like if we can't get someone to buy, then if they've gone through all the emails, we sent them the pre-sale articles, we sent them the video content, we can't get them to buy, then we start retargeting them and emailing them with, hey, just, you know, here's a freebie. If you didn't go for the 20% off, the 30% off, the 50% off, get it free. And then, of course, we've got a one-click upsell attached to that. And I think we do something similar to what you guys do in that we also drive traffic to story-based videos. So in the pre-purchase automation sequence, we obviously email them videos about our brand and our product and things that we think will be relevant to the problems that we're having. And this is the key. All of the content must be relevant to the problem that the customer faces and then allude to the solution, which is your product. So if you're sending someone a piece of content that is irrelevant to the problem they have and has nothing to do with your product, it's not going to work, you know?
This goes back to the two episodes we recorded with Russ Henneberry earlier in the podcast. And it's really, how do you create content that not only hits their pain point, but that alludes to your solution as the solution to their problem? So I think that's a great tie-in.
The initial piece of content doesn't necessarily have to sell. Like, my market is baby boomer women. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what it is to be a woman, an aging woman in our society. First of all, everyone tells you that you're screwed, that this thing that's happening to you is bad, that your life is over after menopause, after your cycle stops. And like, there's all this information out there that women are consuming about how messed up things are going to be for them. And so a lot of our content initially is like, hey, look, this is the messaging that you're getting. We disagree with that. And it's, you know, it doesn't even mention our products. And then we retarget them with pre-sale articles and direct-to-sale products.
One of the posts that I remember you talked about, I forget which podcast it was, and I bookmarked it and I always refer back to it. It's the blog post about the 5 makeup tips. Is that the type of post that's a good introduction for somebody saying, all right, I have products and I'm not a one-hit wonder. Maybe I have a dozen different products, but I tell a story about someone, and you use the personality-based selling extremely well, especially on this site. And I assume that's sort of a trend throughout a lot of your sites. But this page itself is really just about tips. It's helpful, but then it has, you know, specific product links, and then obviously almost like a mini shop sort of at the bottom of the page.
This is our little secret sauce that we figured out recently, that actually combining the pre-sale article and the sales page is winning for us.
Yeah.
So we actually take our e-commerce store and we paste it below our pre-sale articles.
Yep.
So they can literally buy right from the pre-sale. So it's kind of like a long-form sales page in that way.
Very cool.
Totally.
That's a really important point that Ezra made. They're also retargeting with other pre-sale pieces of content, right? Some people need to read, two, three, four pieces of content or opt in for a few different lead magnets before they actually decide to buy.
However you set your funnel up, when they made it to the first piece of pre-sale engagement content, if they did not click through and make it to the offer page, you do not retarget them with an offer. You retarget them with a different piece of pre-sale content or the same piece of pre-sale content. If they made it on that first time through the pre-sale, or if they made it from whatever, you know, maybe one of your retargeting pre-sales to the offer, then you can be much more aggressive in your retargeting.
And it's super simple too. And I think we should probably put the URL for this page, if it's okay with you, Ezra. We can take
totally.
That
and then
down.
You guys will all get retargeted with my amazing ads. You'll buy my stuff. It'll be wonderful.
Because there's multi-products on this page. And so you've got all kinds of variations of retargeting that you can do just from this page alone, which is totally awesome.
What I find is that people like to buy from other people. So with all of my brands, I try to have a face, a person who is talking to this person. Generally, what people want is shared experience. Hey, I'm having the same experience as you, and here's my viewpoint on it, and here's a product I found that helped with it. We have Cindy go on. We don't have professionally produced videos. We shoot them on iPhones. We just say, look, you know, I'm a woman just like you. This is my experience, and here's what I think about this. And that type of messaging works really, really well. So we have several front-end funnels. We drive to opt-in pages that lead to pre-sale pages. We drive to videos that people watch, and we retarget them with content articles that then lead to our products. And we've got other things we do. We go to webinars and then we retarget people with content. But generally, we are using the strategy of advertising a piece of content that alludes to the solution, which is our product, if it's not on a query-based traffic source. And what we do is, if they make it to the piece of content, however they get there, and they don't click through to view one of our products, we retarget them with other pieces of content, or even the same piece of content with a different ad, you know? If they make it from the piece of pre-sale content, if they show that they're interested in products by clicking through to the offer page, then we retarget them with much more aggressive offer-based messaging and product-based messaging. And the thing to remember here, the beautiful thing about this is the old model of selling products was, let me chase you around and try to sell you something. The new model, as you guys discussed at Traffic and Conversion Summit, as we've been doing for quite a long time, is let me engage you in a conversation and let you chase my products.
This actually reminds me of episode 14 with Frank Kern. He talked about putting in contingencies into your funnel everywhere. Expect people to not do what you want them to do because they get busy. Life gets in the way, right? So in this example, it's very similar to his example where if somebody registers for a webinar and they either no-show or they don't make it to the offer, then they get an email sequence that takes them to another webinar, okay? Maybe it's a slightly different one. Maybe it's just an encore. It's not a replay, but it's another webinar. If somebody makes it to that offer, the pitch, they saw the sales offer, and they don't convert, they don't get taken to a replay or an encore. They get taken to a goodwill sequence where you maybe have 1 to 2 to 3. In his case, his example was 2 goodwill content videos to re-engage them, re-educate them, and then have a call to action back to a sales page, okay? So it's basically kind of a mini little sales video. In this situation, it's slightly different. So in this situation, what he's saying is if somebody goes to content and they don't convert or they don't make it to the product page at all, right? You retarget them with another piece of content.
Little tip on webinars while we're talking about them. One thing that's been working really well for us is if people make it all the way through our webinar and don't buy, if they show up and then leave, if they don't make it to the webinar at all, we basically transcribe the webinar, turn it into a really beautiful PDF, take the slides, put it in there, essentially make it into an ebook. People prefer to consume media in different formats.
Yes.
So some people will consume it when in the written format and won't consume it in the video. And that's really helped our sales rates on our webinars because we use webinars to sell our physical products on the back end often of our sales sequences.
Love that. Love that tip.
One thing that we have noticed that really, really helps is third-party pitch videos and social proof videos on your actual product detail or sales page. And so what that means is a third-party pitch video is any third party who is pitching your product, and it should look professionally produced. So if it's ABC News or Good Morning America in your town, or if you can get any, or even if it's a YouTube video blogger who's got good production value. And the only difference between a third-party pitch video and a customer review video is the customer review videos, you're getting customers to shoot them on their iPhone. So if you've got a product, social proof is the key defining factor that will help your conversion rate on your sales page, because specificity and credibility is what sells. And that comes from what other people say about you, not what you say about yourself. And if you go to our boombycindyjoseph.com website and you look at any one of our product detail pages, you'll notice that we've got selfie contests. We've got all of our customers taking selfies with our product. We've got all of our customers taking videos, with our product. And that's because after they buy, we put them on a post-purchase automation sequence that incentivizes them to give us all these things, to give us video reviews, to give us selfies, to leave us a review, to take a survey, to do all kinds of actions that then help our front-end sales.
Well, I think the big thing is for people to look at that post in particular as just like a really, really simple is that you're just mirroring the action. Like if somebody clicks to that blog post and they do not go to any one of the products that's on that page, then that just means they're not ready yet to buy. Yet is the term. So you then will send them to another piece of related content based upon like how do you decide or what would be sort of the next step. If I click on that page, I don't go to, the lipstick link. Not that I'm going to be buying lipstick anytime soon. Maybe I will for my wife now. You never know. But what kind of content will you do next right after that if I don't take that action?
Well, depending on if you're a man or a woman, we'll send you to a different piece of content. And depending on your age range, we'll send you to a different piece of content. And that's kind of the only segmenting that we have. The other thing that I think it's important to remember when you are trying to sell something, and this is something I see a lot of people get wrong, is at the end of the day, It's not about the product. And people seem to forget that. It's about the promise. The promise is the most important thing. People look at two products, they buy the one that has the better promise, and they never try the other one. They don't know which one is better.
What is the product going to do for the person?
Totally. And so if you can put your attention and energy on making the best promise or the most different promise, so if your competitors are promising one thing, promise the complete opposite, you know? Anything that has you stand out is really good. And I think that the future of e-commerce, the future of selling physical products, is in what I'm calling integrated social commerce. I don't know if there's a word for it yet, but what's happening right now, and Shopify just connected with Pinterest, Facebook, and Twitter, and they're just starting out. Just for the last couple months has this even been available. You can't really scale it at the moment. The products that these people, that Facebook has, which is the ability to advertise a product and someone can buy it right from within the Facebook newsfeed, one-click purchasing, that is coming for everyone, by the way. Facebook introduced Facebook Messenger, the ability to do peer-to-peer payments inside of Facebook Messenger so that everyone would put their credit cards on file so that advertisers like us can run ads for products that people can one-click buy from the newsfeed. So one-click purchasing from the Facebook newsfeed is coming. It exists already in certain instances with Shopify and physical products, but the ability for people to make purchases while in the app without having to leave the social network in Instagram, that's coming for sure. It's already there with Twitter and Pinterest and Facebook. It's just not very big. Over the next year or two is our biggest opportunity as retailers, and it's going to be exciting to see what happens there.
Let's hit on Instagram right now. You're teasing us. Let's just get right into it. And then after that, we can kind of recap what's really important. There's a couple key elements here that I'm seeing for people to be successful, and we'll kind of cover those and as we kind of round it out. Tell us about Instagram and some of the opportunities you see coming down the pike.
One of the interesting things that we're seeing is the rise of the ability to sell on tablet, iPhone, Android, and be able to be profitable there. A couple of years ago, we would just get hammered and we were not able to like make money selling on mobile. And now, since everyone has these mobile devices that are so awesome and so easy to engage with, and they got Apple Pay and they've got, you know, these big screens, and people are more used to typing in there, you can actually make good sales off of mobile traffic. And that's like a good chunk of our sales at the moment is Android, iPhone, tablet, and we split all those out. So Instagram is like Facebook owns them. People are on there all the time. It lends itself really well to selling physical products because it's so image driven. And now you can buy ads on Instagram through the Facebook business manager. So what you want to do is you want to go to business.facebook.com, get yourself a business manager account if you don't already have one, claim your ads account in there so your ads account is in the business manager, and associate your Instagram account. You just go to settings, Instagram accounts, and you can add it in there. And in October, they're supposed to roll it out for everyone. So this month, they claim everyone will have access.
Some people have it already. We have it. A couple of my clients don't have it yet. By the time you're listening to it, you might have it. It's just really exciting times.
Generally, the way that we're seeing huge success happening on Instagram is two ways. So the old school way before there were ads is you go and you do hashtag searches, right? Beauty, hashtag makeup, hashtag fitness, hashtag beast mode, you know, whatever's relevant to your product. And you find the people who have huge followings, and you can message them and say, hey, look, how much for a sponsored post? And you can do sponsored posts that way. And that was really the way to advertise on Instagram before now. And it still works fantastically well. And what I would recommend your funnel for Instagram be is getting them to share a cool piece of content that has the call to action, go follow this brand. And the best type of thing for them to share is a social promotion. Hey, this, you know, this brand is having a you know, 100 people are going to win free coffee this month. Follow this Instagram account to enter to win. And you get a bunch of followers, and then it's the old content engagement strategy, right? Then you've got great content on your Instagram feed, and then you make offers on your Instagram feed. So that the way to win is to get a, not to try to make Instagram go direct to a sale, but to go and ask for a follower and then market to your followers.
Use the contest to really generate the eyeballs, right?
Totally. And then once they follow you, now you've got the opportunity to
build the relationship.
Yeah, to be in front of them more often and make offers to them.
Yeah, and just taking people from Instagram to content, like the blog content we talked about before.
One thing that we should mention is cross-platform retargeting. If you're not doing this, you are really losing a lot of money. So if you're running ads on Facebook and people are landing on your landing page and you're only retargeting them on Facebook and you're not retargeting them on YouTube, on the Google Display Network, and everywhere else, then you're doing yourself a disservice.
That's so powerful because you can actually retarget your custom audiences from Facebook book on Instagram. So that's a great place to start with the platform. Use your retargeting audiences that you've built on Facebook and, you know, retarget them on Instagram. That's a great way to test a new ad platform too.
Yeah. And if you're not already ready to do YouTube ads or Google Display, get the pixel on your site. So it's at least it's tracking those visitors so you can do cross-channel retargeting down the road.
And you guys are huge on this at Digital Marketer. And I think it's so important to remind physical product business owners, those of you who are listening, that the money is made on the back end, right? Like, you want to generate that front end sale, but you need to have cross-sell and upsell sequences, back-end webinars, emails to pieces of pre-sale content to your customers that cross-sell them on products they didn't buy. And in order to make that happen, you need a CRM that has tagging so that you can say, well, this person bought X product but didn't buy Y product, put them on this sequence that has pre-sale articles that lead to Y product. So the ability to increase your lifetime customer value via smart automation on the back end of a purchase is really going to make the difference, I think, for you in your advertising.
The whole theme of this awesome session that you're giving us is build a brand, build media, right? Build assets. Talk about that. Just recap on that. I mean, because that's so important, especially when you're talking about contextual traffic, which is probably like what, 100 times the potential traffic or 1,000 times.
It's crazy how much bigger it is. And at the end of the day, stories sell. Right? People want to be told the story. They want to buy into it. And then they want to engage with that thing. It's why I go to Kickstarter for sales video ideas. I'm like, Kickstarter has the best sales videos of anywhere online because these people really get story-based marketing. There's levers in all those videos that enroll you, that engage you on an emotional level. And so I think that at the end of the day, we want to tell stories that engage people on an emotional level, get them involved in a conversation and move them towards an offer. And the thing is, if you're not proud of your offer, then you're going to suck at selling it because you don't believe in it. So you've got to have an offer that you really stand behind, that you really believe in, that you feel good about, that you want to evangelize. So that, I think, is also important, that like all the Amazon business owners out there, they have the same black light flashlight from the factory in China that a million other people have. It's like, that's not going to work. You got to have something that is unique, that you stand behind, that's got a story, that's not just some, you know, random thing.
If you had to give me advice, let's say I have a physical product, I've been selling online, what would you suggest the first 3 to 5 things that I should do that are going to make the biggest change, to make the biggest impact for my business?
I mean, the first thing is a back-end sales funnel. So get yourself another product and sell to your existing customers through webinars and pre-sale content and whatever. Sell to the people who already bought from you, number one. Okay. Figure out how to do more of that, how to get more value from the customers that you already have. Number two, start doing retargeting across all the display platforms if you're not already. So if you're just doing straight up search and SEO and you don't have display retargeting going, you need to get that going. Number three is engagement and lifestyle-based content that you can put on a blog, so that we can then advertise that. So basically what I like to do for each brand is get one front-end sales funnel working. And the sales funnel that I go to the most often is opt-in to pre-sale article to offer. That's really the one that we go for because that gets us leads that we can then nurture over time with a pre-purchase engagement sequence. It gets us people to a pre-sale page that we can retarget with content or with offers based on whether or not they made it through that. And so I'd say you've got to have some kind of sequence that you can advertise in a contextual environment. And if you can get one to work, then you can get a lot to work. And we like to have front-end sequences for each of our products and then have back-end cross-sells to all of our other products. But you got to get one to work first.
And it's a snowball. It's a continual, perpetual snowball that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So as you do this, the longer you do this, you might have promotions, right? Maybe you bring a new product online or you have a week promotion or weekend promotion or a giveaway. And guess what? As people do this, the more successful they are, right? So it's a lot of this beginning stages. You have to realize you're building a foundation, but it's also building your brand for the long term to have a true machine and not having something that you're just, you know, Amazon owns most of your customers or your retargeting lists are in AdWords in Facebook. This is awesome. Like, thank you so much for bringing so much specific just goods. Where can people find out more about you?
You can go to smartmarketer.com. Check out my stuff. I got a blog there. If you want to check out some of our e-commerce stores, you can go to boombycindyjoseph.com, befriendlyskincare.com, and check those out. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I know that as a a business owner, the most valuable thing that you have is your time. So when you take some time to hang out with me and my friends who let me come on this show, so thank you guys. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you. And once again, go ahead and head to the show notes and we'll have all the resources there. Everything that we talked about, we'll link out to his site. And once again, it's smartmarketer.com. And dude, thanks a lot. This was awesome. And talk to y'all soon.
You've been listening to Perpetual Traffic with Keith Krantz, Molly Pittman, and Ralph Burns. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit digitalmarketer.com/podcast. Thank you for listening.
John Moran here. Q1 is closing and it probably didn't go as well as you'd hoped. I'm sure your agency is telling you that they crushed it, but in reality, it probably crushed you. If your agency isn't on the same page as you, or if there's something wrong but you can't quite put your finger on what, go to tier11.com/apply, that's tier11.com/apply, and we'll get set up on a call to show you a better way to look at your business, not just metrics that make agencies look good.